free every day the sun doesn't shine on St. Petersburg, Florida. This is a newspaper ad from 1910, and it made a promise that they called the Sunshine Offer.
Sunshine Offer said that any time the sun failed to come out, if you had a subscription, you were a customer, if you were a stranger, it didn't matter, you would get the next day's newspaper for free.
They printed this promise in their papers and made postcards advertising this deal, this bet against bad weather, advertising a sunshine city. And this reputation persists to this day. Local Reddit threads question the mysterious and unsettling lack of rain, and the city even holds the Guinness World Record for the longest stretch of consecutive sunny days at 768 during the late 1960s. Here's the thing though, today it's pretty easy to find out that in the summertime, St. Pete gets more rain than Seattle, a reputationally rainy city.
So how can both things be true? Is it always sunny in St. Petersburg or not? And if not, why does it have this reputation?
Okay, it's probably a good time to mention this up front. This video is sponsored by Visit St. Pete Clearwater.
However, we honestly might have ended up making it anyways. When I found out that St. Petersburg holds the world record for 768 straight days of consecutive sunshine, I basically assumed it was some kind of myth. This video is going to try to explain the meteorological conditions that contribute to this seemingly eternal sunshine in this Goldilocks region of Florida. And if along the way you get a feel for what it's like to visit a place where the sun never takes a day off, where you get calm, jewel-toned beaches, a thriving art scene, and a downtown that's just as good for a night out as it is for museum day. Well, that's good too. And if you want to learn more about St. Pete Clearwater, check out the link below. Now, back to the video. In this video, we're going to look at some of what makes St. Pete sunny. But it's important to start off here by saying that the weather is complex and varied. So let's start here.
When you zoom out and look at other places that share Florida's latitude on the map, it's where some of the world's most famous deserts are. And that has a lot to do with air pressure.
So if we start from the biggest picture possible, which is the globe, and the sun shines down upon the earth. Well, it shines upon the equator more than it does the poles.
That warms the air, causing it to rise. Eventually, it hits the stratosphere, which acts as a sort of ceiling. And with nowhere left to rise, it pushes outward. And the further it gets from the surface of the earth and the equator, the cooler the air becomes. As it cools, it sinks, and the process repeats. That's the simple version anyways.
Because the Earth spins, that means the air goes up at the equator, and it does go north, but it also turns about 30 degrees north. That's where it winds up. So by the equator, there's a band of rising air all around the equator all year around. Rising air is very good with storms.
You can think of the air sort of like a sponge. As it gets heated, it expands, picks up moisture, and rises. As it gets colder, it compresses. And at a certain point, that squeeze becomes enough that it can't hold moisture anymore, and it rains. Globally speaking, the equatorial effect of rising and sinking air dictates where rainfall usually occurs or doesn't. And Florida, at right around 30 degrees, is in the dry band, where rain usually doesn't occur. So it should be a desert, but it's not. Partly because it's surrounded by water. St. Petersburg is here, on a tiny peninsula within the bigger peninsula of Florida. And having land and water so close to each other is great for making storms.
The land can heat up a lot faster than the ocean does. That temperature difference sets up a pressure difference.
So hot air from above the land rises, and cooler air from above the ocean flows in to replace it. That creates a sea breeze.
That breeze means that the sky above the ocean is generally spotless, while clouds tend to form above the land, and those clouds flow further inland due to the sea breeze.
Rain is typically going to fall inland from the beach. So it's very often that your beach holiday is going to be just fine and sunny, but maybe somewhere further inland got storms in that afternoon.
Because Florida is surrounded by water, this effect occurs on both coasts, causing these opposing sea breezes to converge.
So if you look at the coasts of Florida, the Atlantic coast is fairly straight. So because of that, all of the sea breeze storms on that coast is just a few miles inland of the entire coast. But when you look at the Gulf side, if you connect the coast from Cedar Key to about the Naples and Fort Myers area, that forms about a straight line where the sea breeze thunderstorms typically form.
And St. Pete happens to jut out just far enough from the rest of Florida that it ends up in this sort of Goldilocks region, where a lot of the clouds blow past them before their sponge squeeze effect turns moisture into rain.
The combination of the sea breeze structure with the geography absolutely means that St. Petersburg is set up meteorologically to have more sunny days than some of its neighbors, either up and down the coast or further inland.
And then there's the Bermuda High.
Where most people hear about the Bermuda High is in relation to hurricanes.
It's a pressure system that grows and shrinks in the Atlantic, and it has the potential to steer bigger storms, like hurricanes, away from Florida and up the East Coast. In regards to St. Pete,
most of the time that St. Petersburg gets affected by a hurricane, it's either coming from the Atlantic and across the peninsula, or from the south and coming up the peninsula.
But it's an ever-changing system, and as we learned last year, it's not impossible for storms to go directly into the city, like it did with Hurricane Milton in 2024. This storm dropped a whopping 5 inches of rain on St. Petersburg in an hour.
It is extremely unusual for any location to get 5 inches of rain in an hour. St. Petersburg was in the north side of the eye wall, and because of all of the atmospheric effects in the environment that it was in, it amplified the amount of rainfall that was on the north side.
However, in the 175 years before that, the area has really only had two other major hurricanes, in 1848 and 1921. Let's go back to this chart, comparing the average monthly rainfall of St. Pete to Seattle. At certain points, St. Petersburg looks pretty rainy comparatively. But here's the thing, more rain doesn't always mean less sunshine. When it comes to Florida,
very warm temperatures means that more water vapor can evaporate into the air, which means that when it does rain, it tends to rain a lot and very heavy and all at once. In contrast to that is a place like Seattle, which is on the northwest side of a continent. And so just offshore, it has very cold oceans. And when it does evaporate, you wind up with overcast conditions. Even though it's raining a lot of days, they only get about 30 inches of rain per year, whereas it is not out of the question at all for the Florida Peninsula to get 40 or 50 inches of rain in a year, even though we consider ourselves, rightly, a very sunny place.
In the St. Pete History Museum, I found this postcard that mentioned that the cutoff for the evening post was the sun not shining before 2 p.m. And a representative from the Guinness World Records emailed me to explain that while they can't judge yesterday's achievements by current standards, their definition of a sunny day is now aligned with the National Weather Service, which says that clear/sunny is a sky condition with 1/8 or less of opaque cloud coverage.
768 days sounds like a little bit of fudging, but from a meteorological perspective, you're starting to think about stats and how do we quantify the sunny day. In that sense, we're thinking about what was it overall between sunrise and sunset, not did it just rain at all. Well, in that case, if it rains only 10 minutes, it was still sunny for the majority of the day. So on average, it was still a sunny day.
Separating marketing from reality can be challenging, but in the 78 years of the Evening Independence life, they only gave out 296 free copies.
You think, nearly 300 newspapers, but really think about this, that equates to only about 6 rainy or cloudy days per year that he was required to give it away.
The original ad declared that the nearest approach to perpetual sunshine in the whole United States is at St. Petersburg, the home of perpetual summer.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, but it's kind of hard to argue when you can place a bet against the weather and win.